Well, God bless you. It's great to be with you today. And I hope you'll stay connected with us during the week through our daily podcast, our YouTube channel, social media, and you can come visit us in person. We'd love to have you be a part of one of our services. I'd like to start with something funny. And I heard about this wealthy man. He was known for being very eccentric. And he's having a big party at his house. And in his backyard, he had a huge swimming pool filled with sharks and alligators. He announced to his guest, "Anyone that will swim across my pool, I'll give you anything you want." In a few minutes, there was a big splash and a man was in there going 90 to nothing, dodging sharks and maneuvering around alligators, and made it to the other side just in the nick of time. The owner said, "Wow, you're the bravest person I've ever met. Now, what do you want?" The man said, "What I want more than anything else is the name of the person that just pushed me in." Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, never, 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 I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. God bless you. I want to talk to you today about getting unstuck. There are times that we all feel stuck. We've had a disappointment, and we get stuck in a bad mood, or we've made mistakes and stuck in guilt. We can feel stuck in our career, or stuck being single, stuck raising a difficult child. Thoughts whisper, it's never gonna change. This is permanent. Those are all lies. God did not create you to live stuck, to be limited by your circumstances and restricted because of what people have done. He created you to rise higher, to reach new levels, to break barriers of the past. And yes, there are seasons of waiting and times of testing where we go through struggle, but that's not how your story ends. There are seasons of harvest coming, seasons of breakthrough, seasons of uncommon favor where God steps in and does what only He can do. You may feel stuck in some area of your life today. All the circumstances say it's not going to change, that God must have forgotten about you. No, here's the key. God shows up when you're stuck. Just ask Paul and Silas. They were stuck in prison, their feet in chains. It looked permanent, but at midnight, as they were singing praises, God showed up. There was a great earthquake. The prison doors flung open. They walked out as free men. Jonah was stuck in the belly of a whale. He had made mistakes, was his own fault. But God doesn't abandon us when we get off course. That whale suddenly had indigestion, went to the shore and spit Jonah out. God gave him another chance. Hannah, in the scripture, she felt stuck. She'd been trying to have a baby for years, but she was barren. She watched her sister have child after child and didn't seem fair. She went to the temple and prayed. The prophet Eli said to her, "God heard your prayer and you will have a child." She not only had one baby, but God gave her six children. This was after years of her feeling stuck, thoughts telling her that she would always be barren. Don't believe the never lies. You'll never get well, never get married, never accomplish your dream. You may be stuck now, but you're not going to stay stuck. God's about to show up. Job thought he was stuck. He went through great difficulties, lost his health, his family, his business. He was so depressed, he said, "I hate my life. I wish I had never been born." His wife joined in and said, "I agree, Job. Just curse God and die." It's good to have supportive people. And all the circumstances said Job was done. But God shows up to stuck people. He not only restored what Job lost, but Job came out with double. God makes the enemy pay for bringing the trouble. And we all go through difficulties and things that are not fair. And those thoughts will tell you it's never going to change. But you have to keep this down in your spirit. Stuck is not your destiny. God came to loose the captives. He came to free you from what has you restricted. Joseph thought he was stuck in a pit. His brothers left him there to die. A caravan of Ishmaelites came. He was sold into slavery in Egypt, where years later, he would become the prime minister. Looked like he was stuck, but it was all a setup to move him into his purpose. Yep. The enemy won't tell you that God's working behind the scenes, that it's leading you to your purpose, that being stuck is only temporary. He'll whisper, oh, you're done. It's never gonna change. Don't believe that. God's purpose for your life cannot be overridden by a bad break, a delay, a loss, a hardship. And sure, there'll be times we feel stuck, but you have to remember, God is still in control. He's still ordering your steps. At the appointed time, He will loose you. Suddenly doors will open. Suddenly the well spits you out. Suddenly you have that baby. Suddenly you become the prime minister, so to speak. You step in to a new level of your destiny. And the scripture says, lift up your head and the King of glory will come in. If you're going to get unstuck, you can't go around with your head down, focused on your problems, thinking you've reached your limits. As long as your head is down, you're going to stay where you are. Do yourself a favor, lift up your head. Have a new perspective. You may be stuck, but we serve a God that knows how to get you unstuck. He did it for all those people in the Bible. He's going to do it for you. You may have tried everything you can. You've done your best, but nothing improved. You don't have any more options. The good news is God never runs out of options. You don't see a way, but God has ways that you've never thought of. Instead of having a defeated mindset, well, Joe, man, I never get any good breaks. I can't get through this addiction. I don't think I'll ever get well. No, turn it around. I may be stuck now. I don't deny that, but I know this. I am coming out. Something good is going to happen to me. Blessings are chasing me down. The battle is taking place in our mind. It's easy to become complacent to where we're comfortable with mediocrity. You had big dreams, but it's been so long. Nothing has worked out, so you water down your dreams. I can live with this addiction. I'll never have more than enough. All my family struggles. I don't deserve to be blessed, Joel. I've made so many mistakes. There has to be a change on the inside before there will be change on the outside. Victory starts in our thinking. When you've been stuck a long time, it can create strongholds that keep us from God's best. You need to lift up your head. Have a new vision. You may be stuck now, but can I encourage you? Where you are is not where you're staying. You will beat the sickness. You will break the addiction. You will meet the right person. You're about to become unstuck, where what's held you back is broken off of you. There's going to be a release where God thrusts you into your purpose, favor, blessings that you've never seen. This is what my mother did when she was diagnosed with terminal liver cancer back in 1981. There was nothing more the doctors could do. They sent her home saying that she had a few weeks to live, and it was around Christmas time, and our whole family felt stuck. Medically speaking, they had run out of options. My mother told how in the middle of the night, thoughts would come saying, you can be buried in that new pink dress that you bought. The enemy would love for you to start planning your demise, planning you going down, living lonely, addicted. His goal is to keep you focused on the problem, how impossible it looks, how long it's been. The scripture says, look away from all that distracts unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In difficult times, more than ever, you have to look away from the distractions and look up. Fix your thoughts on what God says about you. He's the author and the finisher. What He starts, He's going to complete. You may be stuck now. The good news is God is not finished. He's still working. Keep looking up. Keep thanking Him. Keep declaring what He promised. Keep talking like it's on the way. And despite the negative report, I would hear my mother going through the house saying, "Father, thank you that you're restoring health back into me, that I will live and not die, that the number of my days you will fulfill." You know what happened? The King of Glory came in. God did what medicine couldn't do. That was 44 years ago, from a few weeks to live to over four decades. You're never too stuck for God to free you. You're never too addicted, too depressed, medical report too bad, child too far gone. Lift up your head and chains will break. Healing will come. Supernatural turnarounds. There was a man in the scripture that had been crippled for 38 years. And every day his family would carry him to the pool of Bethesda. They'd lay there hoping to be healed. They believed that an angel would trouble the water. The first person in would be made well. There were hundreds of sick people and disabled gathered at this pool. But of all the people, Jesus came to this man who had been stuck for 38 years. It's not a coincidence that the scripture tells us how long he's been lame. Many of the people Jesus healed, we don't know how long they were blind or how long they had leprosy. We just know they got healed. But this length was included on purpose so we would know that no matter how long you've been stuck, it's not too late for God to turn it around. Jesus asked the man, "Do you want to get well?" Seemed like an odd question. Of course he did. That's why he came to the pool. But Jesus wanted to see his frame of mind. Was he looking up? Was he believing he could get well? Or was he looking down, thinking it had been too long? He said to Jesus, "I don't have anyone to help me get into the pool." He was saying, in effect, "Yes, I want to get well, but I'm at a disadvantage." Jesus could have said, "Man, you didn't answer right. If you'd have said yes, I'd have healed you." God's full of mercy. The fact is, Jesus knew the man went to the pool every day. He saw his faith. Every morning, the man getting out of bed, putting his clothes on, being carried to the pool. He could have been at home, laying in bed, self-pity, life's not fair. But every day he's out there hoping to get well, expecting the waters to move, believing for a supernatural touch. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Some people say the man didn't have much faith, but if you've never walked in your life and someone tells you to get up, do you know how much faith that would take? The man could have said, "Jesus, what do you mean? I'm crippled. I've been this way my whole life." Or this man said, in effect, "If you say I can walk, then I believe I can walk. If you say I'm not stuck anymore, then I believe it." As he started to rise up, suddenly strength, healing flowed into him, energized his legs. He stood up, walked out of there first time in 38 years. What's interesting is this all happened on the Sabbath. The religious law said that you can't do any work on the Sabbath. Jesus knew this, but he broke the rules to get the man unstuck. God will break rules to get you to your destiny. He'll break protocol. He'll do things that are unusual. Heal you without the treatment, like my mother. Choose you to be a pastor when you don't have the training. Give you the compact center, a sports arena for a church. Uncommon, out of the ordinary, something you weren't expecting to get you unstuck, to release you into your purpose. You don't have to figure out how this is going to happen. All you have to do is lift up your head, activate your faith. Psalm 143, David talks about all kinds of opposition he was facing and how people were treating him very badly. This is when King Saul was chasing him through the desert. He was living on the run, stuck in an unfair situation, stuck with someone trying to get rid of him that he had been good to. He said in verse 3, "My enemy has chased me. He's knocked me to the ground and forced me to live in darkness like those in a grave. I'm losing all hope. I'm paralyzed with fear." When you have doubts, fears, and uncertainties, don't get so down on yourself. Here's David, a man after God's own heart. a hero of faith, yet he had times of discouragement, times where he felt like he was stuck, didn't see how it could ever change. The key is don't stay there. At some point, you have to look up. David listed all these bad things that were happening. Then in the next chapter, when he still felt overwhelmed, still didn't see a way, he said in verse 9, "I will sing a new song unto the Lord." He was saying, "I'm done talking about defeat. I'm gonna lift up my head. I'm gonna get a new perspective." Listen to how he changed. Verse 3, "Great are you, O Lord. I will meditate on your awe-inspiring deeds, for you help the fallen. You lift those under heavy load. You protect those who trust in you." He went from, "Poor old me, I'm stuck," to, "God, I thank you that you are fighting my battles, that you're my vindicator, that you're bigger than what's trying to stop me." When you feel stuck, it makes a difference what you're focused on. Are you dwelling on the problem or are you dwelling on the promises? Are you focused on how big the obstacle is or on how big our God is? If you'll lift up your head, the King of Glory will come in. God will make things happen that you couldn't make happen. A couple of years after Victoria and I were married, we were walking through a neighborhood close to our house. And we came to this new house that was almost finished being built, in the last stages of construction. Nobody was around, so we walked up to it. It was this nice two-story house, and it was so beautiful. This spacious entry and big windows in the back and high ceilings. And the kitchen was open to the den. It was amazing. As we were leaving, walking down the front porch, I'll never forget this, Victoria stopped and said, "Joel, one day we're gonna live in a house just like that." She might as well have said, "One day we're gonna go to the moon." We were living in an old one-story house. We could barely afford that. Being the great man of faith that I am, I started telling her all the reasons that it wasn't possible. How I work for a church. I'm never gonna have that income. If we saved 124 years, we won't have enough. That went in one ear and out the other. She acted like she didn't hear me. She said, "No, Joel, I'm telling you, we're gonna live in a house just like this." That made me mad. I did my best to convince her, we're stuck, we're limited, we're at a disadvantage. The difference was I had my head down, she had her head up. I was looking at what we could do, she was looking at what God can do. I was focused on all the facts, the numbers, what's logical. I didn't see a way. But God is not limited by what you don't have. He's not limited by your bank account, by the medical report, by what family you come from. He controls the universe. When you believe, all things are possible. In the natural, we may be stuck, but God is supernatural. He makes streams in the desert. He brings water out of a rock. He parts Red Seas. Peter caught a fish that had a coin in it to pay his taxes. God is not scratching his head trying to figure out how to get you unstuck. He's gonna do things that you never saw coming, that exceed your expectations, explosive blessings that catapult you into your destiny. Now don't do like I do. Come up with all the reasons you can't get out of debt and you can't get well, and your dream's too big and that child of yours will always be off course. Do yourself a favor, lift up your head. God, I don't see a way, but I know you have a way. Victoria finally convinced me to get in agreement with her. We were living in this old rundown house, had foundation problems, crooked floors, some of the interior doors wouldn't shut, but it was on a nice half-acre lot close into the city. The neighborhood changed the deed restrictions to where you could subdivide the property. A builder knocked on our door a couple months later. He bought half of the property for more than we paid for the whole property. He built two homes there, one for us, just like that house that Victoria had seen. I could have never made that happen. I couldn't have put that on paper. What am I saying? God is going to do things that are uncommon, that you didn't see coming. You may be stuck in some area, but here's a key. Being stuck is a setup for God to show out in your life, to do something out of the ordinary. Don't believe that lie that it's permanent. It's been too long. Your dream's too big. No, like the lame man that was there for 38 years, your time is coming. Keep looking up. Keep believing. Keep expecting. That's your faith being released. 2 Kings chapter 7, the Syrian army had surrounded the city of Samaria, cutting off its food supply. The people were starving. There were 4 lepers living outside the city gates. Leprosy was contagious. They weren't allowed to be around people. Not only were they outcast, but when the enemy army came, they would be the first ones to be killed. They had no protection. Talk about stuck, no future, no food, dreaded disease. But sitting by the gates, one of them said to the others, "Why are we just going to sit here like this till we die?" They thought, if we stay here, we're going to starve to death. We have nothing to lose. Let's go to the enemy's camp and see if there's any food there. They started walking toward the other camp. God multiplied the sound of their footsteps. It sounded like a huge army was coming. The enemy army panicked and took off running as fast as they could. Well, they left behind all the supplies. The lepers showed up, couldn't believe it. A whole camp full of food, clothing, equipment. They went back and told the Israelites. All their lives were spared. But sometimes, like these lepers, we get stuck at a gate. We've had bad breaks and gone through a disappointment. Now we're stuck in self-pity or holding on to hurts. Made mistakes. We have regrets. Stuck in guilt. Stuck in shame. We can get stuck in an addiction, in compromise. We tried to do better, but we keep falling back. The challenge is we can get comfortable at the gate. We can learn to function in dysfunction. We have to ask ourselves what the lepers ask. Why am I going to sit here till I die? Why am I going to stay this way? Offended, guilty, insecure, no passion. We're waiting for God to change things, but God's waiting for us. When you make a move, it sets off a chain reaction. That's when God begins to work, open doors, bring healing, new relationships. A small act of obedience can lead to a big blessing. It may be forgiving that person that did you wrong, or forgiving yourself for the mistakes you've made. It may mean getting up in the morning and emptying out all the low self-esteem, the insecurity, and reminding yourself who God says you are. A small act can get you unstuck. Maybe it's to quit hanging around that friend that's causing you to compromise, or not listening to the news driving to work all day that's causing you to be mad at the world. Instead, put on something inspiring, uplifting, that feeds your faith. Don't go the next 20 years stuck at the gate. Do what you can, and God will do what you can. You make a move, and He'll multiply your steps. You lift up your head, and He'll turn things around that you thought were permanent. There was a man we knew growing up that could play the piano so beautifully. He taught lessons to people and served at the church, so gifted and skilled, and he loved to play. But over time, he developed rheumatoid arthritis, and kept getting worse and worse, and he had trouble using his hands, and finally got to the point where his fingers were all shriveled up, and he could no longer play the piano. He was so discouraged over it all. Well, 20 years went by, and he had accepted that his days of playing the piano were over. But one day he heard my father speaking about forgiveness and how important it is to let things go. For years, he had been estranged from his parents. He felt like they hadn't raised him right. They had let him down, and all these offenses had built up to where he pushed them out of his life. When he heard that message, he felt something so strongly telling him to forgive, to make things right. The next day, he went to his parents' house and knocked on the door. And they answered and couldn't believe it was him. They hugged and wept and There was healing and forgiveness. And the relationship was restored. Well, something interesting happened. Little by little, the man's fingers began to open up. He started having more flexibility, and the pain in his joints began to lessen. He kept getting better and better. 6 months later, he could sit down and play the piano like he did 20 years earlier, like he had never missed a beat. He was stuck all those years, but a simple act of obedience caused him to get unstuck. Like those lepers, he was comfortable at the gate. He had learned to function with the problem. He didn't realize the offense was holding him back. When he made a move, God did what he couldn't do. When he said, I'm not going to sit here like this till I die, holding on to something that's poisoning me, that's when God stepped in and brought healing and restoration. If you're stuck in some area, you need to look inside and say, God, what do I need to do? Show me anything that's holding me back. If you'll take that step of faith, your act of obedience will start a chain reaction of the goodness of God. Life may not have treated you fair. You got a good reason to stay where you are, but stuck is not your destiny. What happened to you did not stop your purpose. Mistakes you've made did not cancel your assignment. There is still a beautiful life, a blessing, fulfillment, abundance that belongs to you. It's time to arise. Shake off the guilt. Forgive the people that hurt you. Let go of the self-pity. Lift up your head. Get that fresh vision. God didn't bring you this far to leave you. Being stuck is not permanent. It's a setup for God to show out in your life. You may be stuck now, but I believe and declare this is a new day. You're about to become unstuck. God is releasing you from whatever is holding you back. Chains are being broken. Strongholds are coming down. Freedom is coming. Restoration, divine connections, the fullness of your destiny. In Jesus' name, if you receive it, can you say amen? Amen. Let's pray together. If you have 5 minutes, stick with me if you don't mind. But Lord, thank you for what we've heard. I know it falls on great ground, faithful people of Lakewood, so many that are here honoring you. And Lord, like I just said, I ask for all of us, Lord, show us areas that we need to change so we can become unstuck. Show us what we need to do. And Lord, we commit before we leave this building that we will make the changes, that your grace will give us the You'll give us the grace to do what we need to do. And Lord, I thank you that we will take those steps of faith. And Lord, that you will do what we cannot do. I thank you, Lord, as I've already prayed, that we will not be at this same place next year, that we are moving forward. And I believe, Lord, and thank you that chains have been broken today, strongholds in our mind have come down, that we will step into new levels of what you called us to do. In Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to protect your people this week. Them and their children, watch after them. Thank you for a blessed, flourishing week. In Jesus' name, with our heads bowed in prayer, a quick question and then we'll be done. If your heart stopped beating in the next few minutes, are you at peace with God? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If not, I would love to pray with you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm here to help you find a new beginning. And I know this comes from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, if you're not at peace with the Lord, or maybe you are a Christian, but you've grown cold toward God, you know you need to rededicate your life. You need a fresh new start. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to take a step of faith and stand right where you are, and we'll pray together. I can't think of a better time to get on the road to victory than right now. God is not mad at you. Your sins have already been forgiven. All you have to do is accept the free gift of Christ's salvation. Will you do it today? The enemy in your thoughts will whisper, do it next week. Do it another time. Listen, the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Well, Joe, it's embarrassing to stand in front of everyone. Have people at the house. I can't lift my hand. Listen to what Jesus said. if you won't be ashamed of me before people, then I won't be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I'm going to give you a great opportunity to show God that you're not ashamed of Him. If you're not at peace with the Lord, or you just need to rededicate your life, you need that fresh new start, that new beginning. If that's you, would you be bold, take that step of faith, and we'll pray together. You can stand right where you are and we'll pray together. Would you do that? Come on, Lakewood, let's give them a hand as they stand all over the building. Come on, don't put it off. I feel like there ought to be a few others. Your heart's beating fast. That's God drawing you. Anybody else? Up top? Watching, listening? One more big clap, Lakewood. They're still standing. Anybody else? Well, God bless you. And please remain standing if you don't mind. Let me tell you how proud we are of you. I know that took courage to stand. More importantly, God will never be ashamed of you because you took this step of faith. And the scripture says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let me help you to call. Do you mind all praying this after me, if you would, please? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. Amen. Remain standing. One more moment. I want to tell you how much we love you. I also want to give you a personal invitation and a challenge to come back and be with us on a regular basis. We ask new believers, give us the next year of your life. Make a commitment for the next year, you're going to be here every time you possibly can. Just like you go to work, I'll make a promise before that year is over, your life will never be the same for the better. Now I know, you know, you're probably busy on Sunday, you could relax, a day off, but I can promise you this, when you get into a community of faith and you put God first place, your life is going to go better. God honors those who honor Him. So I hope you'll come, take me up on that, get plugged in, got great volunteer teams you could be a part of, meet some awesome people here at Lakewood. Hey, after service, right over here, there's a room called New Beginnings. If you need anything, I'm gonna be out there by the bookstore. Stop by and see me whenever you can. But know this, the moment you stood up, God washed away all your sins, your mistakes, your failures. You are starting with a fresh, clean slate. Write it down in your Bible, March 16th, 2025, a new day of victory in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand together, if you would, please. Thanks so much for coming out today. How many of you going home better off than you were before? Amen. We love you guys. I'm going to speak a blessing. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord show you His favor and have mercy on you. And may the Lord watch over you and give you His peace. God bless you. Have a great week, a favor-filled week. We'll see you back real soon.